joining us right now. Friend of mine, we go back a decade. He's a NFL reporter for the New York Post, covering your New York Giants, Ryan Dunleavy on the Fan. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Keith?
Ryan, what if I told you 10 years ago when you walked into the Fan Cave with your pen and your pad and you started writing your notes about the ambiance of 692 Broadway and I shook your hand and said, hey, I'm Keith. What if I told you when you left that 10 years from now you would join me on the Fan, not once, but twice?
I would have said that we both our dreams came true, probably.
I wouldn't have said that. There's no way. I met Moose that year. I wasn't thinking this would ever happen. I met Moose in the Fan Cave, and I just was like, yo, Mark Moose is. Here we are.
Yeah, here we are. I mean, this is always where I was trying to get to, covering the NFL for an outlet like the Post. So in the Super Bowl 2 weeks ago at the NFL Combine now. So
awesome.
You'll never hear me complain.
I'm proud of you. If nobody has told you that they're proud of you, I'm proud of your progress.
You and my mom, I appreciate that.
Well, we got to start with Darren Waller. I talked about Darren Waller in my open, and, you know, it's crazy how things change, right? In the beginning of the Giants season, in the preseason, all we were hearing about is the Daniel Jones to Darren Waller connection and how dominant this guy was in practice and how he was always open and how Daniel Jones kept finding him and how dynamic that duo was going to be this season. And then, obviously, both of those guys got hurt. And now, going into next season, I mean, both of those guys might not even be starting the first game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even sure that Darren Waller will be on the team. So now that he's contemplating retirement, go back to what you said, Keith. I mean, I was there. I was one of the ones writing it. They were awesome together in OTAs, in training camp, not just the shorts and t-shirts practices, but the padded practices. I mean, he was uncoverable. And that's why I think if he does come back, I think he's still got plenty left in the tank. I just think with Darren Waller, like with a lot of NFL players, it's about staying healthy. He hasn't been able to do that the last 3 years. But if he does, I think he can play. I don't think that a guy contemplating retirement is the, you know, career death sentence that it used to be, like in the Bill Parcells era. We see guys like Jason Kelce contemplate retirement every year, come back to play at his highest level. So I think it can be done.
That's a better comp than I made. Obviously, they both play tight end. They're over 31 years old. The comp that I made was Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers came out of the darkness retreat, went on Pat McAfee, and told us he went in there 90% retired. That's not good. If you're 90% retired, you probably should have stayed retired, because look at your body, right? Body, mind, soul, like it's all connected. Your Achilles gave out on you, but now he's in a different place. And I feel like Darren Waller's got to get to a different place. Speaking of a different place, he was in Vegas with the Raiders. He was in Oakland with the Raiders. And then he gets traded over here. He has to leave his wife, Kelce Plum. There were rumors this year that they split. And then also, we heard his raps. We heard his music. He's a artist. He makes music. And I guess while he was hurt this year, he was really focused on that. So what I'm saying is, mentally, I don't know if his head is in the right place for football. And this is such an important year for the Giants. What do you think they're thinking? What do you think Shane and Dable are thinking about this guy? I feel like there's no way they have him front and center in their plans.
I know that, well, obviously I'm here in Indianapolis. So what do I do all day is talk to agents, executives, and coaches. And I know that the Giants have had shown a lot of interest in tight ends, number two type guys. So they're obviously making contingency plans, but they're not going to find another guy as good as Waller at his peak. So, and they're going to, and if he retires, they're still on the hook for his salary cap hit. Mm-hmm. So I think they want him to come back. I mean, like, to me, the plan for the Giants should be add to Saquon Barkley and Darren Waller, not replace Saquon Barkley and Darren Waller. When it's, your fans are frustrated, man, they want to win. You're going to replace those two guys. And, yeah, I mean, to me, add to those two guys. Add to the offensive line. Take some pieces you have and try to win. Like, I don't know. That, to me, I think the Giants, yeah, they're obviously making contingency plans, which is smart, but I think in their heart of hearts, they want him to come back fully committed, fully healthy, and show that they made a smart trade for that third-round pick last year.
We're on the phone with Ryan Dunleavy. He's an NFL reporter physically at the Combine right now. He writes for the New York Post covering your New York Giants. You just said the name, Saquon Barkley. Once a Giant, always a Giant. The guy wants to be a Giant for life. this is deja vu. They just went through this dance last year with Saquon Barkley. Franchise tag him, don't franchise tag him. Give him a little bit more money, don't give him a little bit more money, right? This new regime that did not draft him, but they have spoken highly of him. They understand his value as a captain, as a face of the franchise. The salary cap went up. We heard rumors coming out of Indy this week that Saquon Barkley had spoken to C.J. Stroud or the Texans. I don't know what to believe anymore because the internet, especially Twitter, is a cesspool. It's a lot of fake news. It's a lot of people pretending to be sources and breaking news, and no one really knows. But from your eyes and your ears and everything that you're gathering in Indy right now, are you thinking that Saquon Barkley returns to the Giants? I think that they definitely can make it happen.
Oh, they can make it happen. And I hopefully I never have my sources are always real. I never do fake news, especially I think my reporting on the Saquon Barkley situation over the last year and a half speaks for itself in terms of being out in front of it.
Yeah.
And my opinion would be, yes, they definitely can make it happen. No, I don't think they will franchise tag him, even with the raised salary cap. I do think he wants to return. I do think his 1A or second option or whatever would be the Texans. I think it's important to Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley wants to win. Saquon Barkley wants to be remembered as a great player. So, like, what does he need to do to that? He needs to get somewhere with good offensive linemen and a team that's going to be in the playoffs where he can showcase himself to America. So, like, and be remembered as a guy who got 9,000, 10,000 career yards, not struggling to get 900 yards every season because he's getting hit two yards behind the line of scrimmage. So I think those are probably the two teams at the top of his list. I think what will end up happening is a wink, wink, nod, nod agreement that he can go test the free agency market, find out his actual value. Let's end this two-year saga of I say you're worth this, you say you're worth that. Let the market decide what you're worth, and we trust you. You're a loyal guy. Come back to us and let us see if we can match that price.
Now, the next question, since you're out there, is what are the Giants doing? Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, the assistant coaches, are they giving these kids money? Are they drinking with these kids? Are they playing Madden with them? All of these top recruits, well, not recruits, top prospects, draft picks, all of them are raving about their meeting with the Giants. They're glowing. Jaden Daniels talks about his meeting and the energetic coaching staff. And J.J. McCarthy and Roma Duse talking about how they're good people. And a lot of times, you know, you hear about sketchy questions or weird things that go on these meetings. Even Malik Nabers, all of them are raving about Brian Daboll and the coaching staff. What are they doing when they get these kids in the room?
Well, I'll say this. I think, one, they talk about football, which the kids like. Like, all the, like, putt-putt stuff and, you know, throwing darts or whatever the stuff is that makes for fun stories for you and I. The kids are always like, what's the point of this? I don't know if I trust this. Like, the kids want, give me a clicker and let me talk about my playbook or whatever. The kids love that stuff. And I believe that's where the Giants' focus is. And look, it's not a surprise that players like Brian Daboll. Like, the NFLPA survey came out the other day. He got like an A- or something from,
right.
Like, Brian Daboll connects with players. Brian Daboll's problem is connecting with staff members. So it's not a surprise that the prospects would
players
like
coach, not a coach's coach.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, there's not a surprise that a player would like Brian Daboll, especially with, look, he knows football. They want to talk football.
Yeah.
I mean, Daboll would love to just talk X's and O's all day. So, and the position coaches kind of run this thing, and the Giants have, especially at quarterback, Shea Tierney is like a super young, up-and-coming quarterbacks coach. They kind of run the meetings, those position coaches. So he's a guy a lot of guys could connect with. So they have a likable staff to players, no doubt about it. And remember, these are only, I think it's 45, 20-minute meetings. So, you know, you just get a basic surface-level opinion of a guy in those 20 minutes.
Yeah, Daboll seems my kind of guy. He wears Jordans and listens to hip-hop. He likes Biggie. He dances with the players. He wears Jordan 3s.
Makes jokes, FaceTimes them, makes, like, middle school jokes with them. Like, yeah, players like him.
Yeah, Mike Kafka seems kind of stale. I bet Daniel Jones and Mike Kafka sit in the meeting room and just have a stare-off.
I don't know. I mean, it's always tough, too, to know, like, yeah, you just named, like, two of the more robotic podium people I've ever talked to. And two people that I have really struggled. Daniel's been here 6 years. I've really struggled to get to know him. Mike Kafka's been here 1 year. I don't feel, or 2 years. I don't feel like I have a great feel for him. But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, that's the persona you put forth at, you know, your once a week 10-minute podium interview with the media. That doesn't mean it has to be you. Obviously, Wink Martindale was, you know, electric in those, and then we found out there was a different side of him when he and Daboll broke up.
Again, we're on the phone with Ryan Dunleavy, great reporter, covers the Giants, NFL, for the New York Post. He's in Indy at Lucas Oil Stadium. He's right there where all the information and things are coming out, and he's the guy you need to talk to. So I mentioned Daniel Jones, and I mean, I've been saying that Daniel Jones is hurt, man, and he's recovering. He's coming back from an ACL injury. He had the neck injury this season. Now he's got a long rap sheet of injuries. I just think it is good business to bring in a young quarterback, a healthy quarterback. I think that it is wise for Shane and Daboll in year three, where they need to bounce back, and it's not guaranteed that they're going to bounce back. I know Daniel Jones is your starter because the contract says he's your starter, but so much needs to happen this year. I've been selling everyone on the fact that if you do draft a young quarterback, that extends your time because you have to develop that guy and see it through. And then the narrative coming out of the combine is the worst kept secret is that the Giants are trying to trade up for a quarterback. It doesn't need to be a secret. It's obvious to me. What do you say to that?
Well, first I'd say Pat Shurmur would like to speak to you about how if you draft a young quarterback, you get to develop him because he didn't get to do that with Daniel Jones.
Oh, Gettleman so, drafted.
Yeah. So, look, I think you hit it something that needs to be said here, Keith. Like, everything about the Giants offseason really depends on what kind of timeline Shane and Daboll are working on. Like, if I feel like my job's under fire and I have to win this year, I'm not picking a first-round quarterback. My team needs two starting offensive linemen, a number one receiver, a number one corner, and then depending on Saquon and Xavier McKinney, a running back and a number one safety. So why am I going to use the sixth pick or trade up to the three and give up assets to have somebody that I'm going to start the season on the bench? Like, no, I'm not doing that. So I need to fill holes. And then if I feel like, okay, the ownership's with me, this is a long-term build, then yeah, I'm going to go and draft a quarterback. Personally, me, Ryan Dunleavy speaking, I thought it was a mistake to sign Daniel Jones to that contract last year. So, yeah, I do think the Giants are interested in moving up to get a quarterback. I don't think the first three teams are interested in moving down to get a quarterback. So then your options become maybe J.J. McCarthy at six or somebody, Spencer Rattler or Bo Nix.
Spencer Michael Rattler. That would be amazing if Spencer Rattler goes at six.
No, I'm saying
no, but J.J. McCarthy. I know they're hyping him up. I know the kid's pedigree. I've been aware of him since QB1 when he was coming out of high school. But imagine he jumps, like imagine through the combine and pro day. Anything can happen. This is the time for it. Zach Wilson went number two out of BYU.
I was just saying, like, your options become McCarthy at six or Rattler, Nix, Penix later in the first round or early in the second round, like an Odunze or a Neighbors at six, and then your second player picked, wherever that is, 37 or on a trade up higher, is your quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I hear a lot of folks saying you just get the most talented player and they need receivers, so why not get a Rome Odunze or a Malik Neighbors? And my response to that is because someone has to throw them the ball. The rookie receiver is only as good as the guy throwing him the ball. Jalin Hyatt, he wanted to be offensive rookie of the year. That came out of his mouth. Yep. What happened this year? He didn't have anybody to throw him the ball. Well, he had a few different guys throw him the ball, consistent enough.
Darius Slayton gets pigeonholed as like this Mr. Yeah. Consistent 700 to 775 yard receiver every year. I can tell you Darius Slayton thinks he is much better than that. Mm-hmm. Like, he thinks he is a 1,000-yard receiver all the time. And, like, well, that's not what this offense allows. So it isn't just rookies like Jalin Hyatt. All receivers are dependent on their quarterbacks. And, yeah, the Giants are going to add a young quarterback. I just don't know if it's going to be somebody picked third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, depending on if they trade up, or if it's going to be somebody picked 25 to 37 based on their wherever their second pick ends up after trade possibilities. If I had to guess right now, I would go with they end up with an Odunze or Neighbors and one of the second tier young quarterbacks, and they basically hope to have a competition between that guy and Daniel Jones.
I took a call the other night where a fan said that Tyrod Taylor should be the starter and that they should pay Tyrod Taylor again and pay him good money. And we know the backup quarterbacks are going to make good money after the year of the backup and the backup's backup that we just saw. Do you think that Tyrod Taylor comes back? And also, do you think Tommy Cutlets comes back?
Tommy Cutlets will be back. He's under contract. I don't know if he'll be on the 53-man roster when we get to that point in September, because the Giants traditionally only carry two quarterbacks, and I fully expect him to be.
I thought he had a one-year deal. Thanks for my information. See, this is why I have people on that know more than me. What's his contract?
It's one more year, yeah.
Okay, I thought he just had a one-year undrafted free agent, one-year
flyer. You are correct. That's what most get. He has an extra year. You are correct. Smart. That's the standard, but he has one more year. So, but I do think they'll probably end up cutting him after training camp and hoping to resign him to the practice squad, because that's typically what they do for their third quarterback. And then to answer your other out, Tyrod, I do not think Tyrod will be back. I know Joe Shane said it was a possibility. Tyrod was very disenfranchised with the fact that he had to sit behind Tommy DeVito.
Cost
last
him $1 million.
that he lost his job due to injury to an undrafted rookie he was not thrilled about. So he's going to get paid. Like you said, you hit it spot on. Last year was the year of the backup quarterback. The backup quarterback market's going to blow up this year. Tyrod's one of the best. I do think he will get paid. I don't think it will be here. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad idea, because I think Tyrod has proven he's a fun player. You can win with him. He makes exciting plays. He makes, bad plays. He is kind of like a total wild card. But he also gets injured a lot. And as far as a starting quarterback, I mean, why are we saying Daniel Jones shouldn't be the starting quarterback? Because he gets injured a lot. So it's hard for me to say Daniel shouldn't be, but Tyrod is. I mean, Tyrod gets injured basically every three games he plays.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not the biggest guy. Okay, so I also took a call tonight about Daniel Jones being behind a weak offensive line, and it's not his fault. And there's a lot of Giants fans that absolve him by saying that the offensive line isn't good enough. And I'm like, well, it was the same or different configuration.
I mean, we've been saying that for 10 years, Keith.
I just said it's been a decade of saying that the offensive line isn't good. So my last question for you is, if Joe Alt is available at 6, do the Giants just say, hey, we'll take this guy, even though they have three top picks on their offensive line and Andrew Thomas, Evan Neal, and John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt?
No, I would say I've asked that question to many people out here. No one thinks the Giants will do anything besides quarterback or receiver. Like, basically, put those top three quarterbacks, put those top three receivers, and maybe put in J.J. McCarthy, seven players. One of those seven players is going to the Giants. I do think, to your point, like, they could do that with Joe Alt if they need, but I think we'll know. The beauty of the NFL offseason is free agency is before the draft, and I think we'll see them spend on one, maybe two veteran offensive linemen, because they probably need three starters. So maybe two and a half, depending on what you do with Evan Neal, but I think you got to sign two starters and sign at least somebody comparable to Evan Neal, and have somebody at least comparable to Evan Neal, so that you can challenge Evan Neal. So I think you're probably talking about signing two free agents and then using a day two pick, whether one of the two second rounders or a third rounder, on an offensive lineman, and that's how you get your five starters this year.
Again, this is Ryan Dunleavy with us on The Fan. I'm going to sneak in one more question before I let you go. With Wink Martindale out, do you expect Xavier McKinney to re-sign? You think he's going to be back?
It's an interesting. I think my answer is a little less confident than it would have been 6 hours ago, because the Eagles released Kevin Byard, who not only might be the best or second best safety on the free agent market along with McKinney.
He's a dog.
He also played for new Giants defensive coordinator, mm-hmm, Shane Bowen with the
Tennessee
Titans for his last 3 years. It's like, well, why would McKenzie come back here? Well, Shane Bowen's defense is really safety reliant. Oh, okay, that's good. But it was also, it's like, it was also Kevin Byard reliant. So, like, does he jump to the top of the Giants list?
Yeah.
Everybody, agents I've talked to out here believe that McKenzie is the top free agent. I do think there's a possibility that they transition tag him by Tuesday. And a quick explanation of that is a 13-ish million dollar contract that gives the Giants the right of first refusal. They can match any deal that he gets from another team on free agency. But if they choose not to match it, they don't get any compensation. So I think Tuesday's the deadline for that. That's a real possibility. I think if they do that, they might end up keeping him. If they don't do that, I think he'll be gone.
Ryan, you're the man. I appreciate you joining us tonight. Keep doing your thing out there, and we'll have you back on as we get closer to the draft and the season.
Thanks for having me, Keith.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Joining us right now, friend of mine, we go back a decade. He's a NFL reporter for the New York Post, covering your New York Giants, Ryan Dunleavy on the Fan. What's up, Ryan?
What's up, Keith?
Ryan, what if I told you 10 years ago when you walked into the Fan Cave with your pen and your pad and you started writing your notes about the ambiance of 692 Broadway, and I shook your hand and said, hey, I'm Keith. What if I told you when you left that 10 years from now, you would join me on the Fan, not once, but twice?
I would have said that we both, our dreams came true, probably.
I wouldn't have said that. There's no way. I met Moose that year. I wasn't thinking this would ever happen. I met Moose in the Fan Cave, and I just was like, yo, Mark Moose is. Here we are.
I mean, this is always where I was trying to get to, covering the NFL for an outlet like the Post, so... in the Super Bowl 2 weeks ago at the NFL Combine now. So
awesome.
You'll never hear me complain.
I'm proud of you. If nobody has told you that they're proud of you, I'm proud of your progress.
You and my mom, I appreciate that.
Well, we got to start with Darren Waller. I talked about Darren Waller in my open, and, you know, it's crazy how things change, right? In the beginning of the Giants season in the preseason, all we were hearing about is the Daniel Jones to Darren Waller connection, and how dominant this guy was in practice, and how he was always open, and how Daniel Jones kept finding him, and how dynamic that duo was going to be this season. And then obviously both of those guys got hurt. And now going into next season, I mean, both of those guys might not even be starting the first game.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even sure that Darren Waller will be on the team. So now that he's contemplating retirement, go back to what you said, Keith. I mean, I was there. I was one of the ones writing it. They were awesome together in OTAs, in training camp, not just the shorts and T-shirts practices, but the padded practices. I mean, he was uncoverable. And that's why I think if he does come back, I think he's still got plenty left in the tank. I just think with Darren Waller, like with a lot of NFL players, it's about staying healthy. He hasn't been able to do that the last 3 years. But if he does, I think he can play. I don't think that a guy contemplating retirement is the, you know, career death sentence that it used to be, like in the Bill Parcells era. We see guys like Jason Kelce contemplate retirement every year, come back to play at his highest level. So I think it can be done.
That's a better comp than I made. Obviously, they both play tight end. They're over 31 years old. The comp that I made was Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers came out of the darkness retreat, went on Pat McAfee, and told us he went in there 90% retired. That's not good. If you're 90% retired, you probably should have stayed retired, because look at your body, right? Body, mind, soul, like it's all connected. Your Achilles gave out on you, but now he's in a different place. And I feel like Darren Waller's got to get to a different place. Speaking of a different place, he was in Vegas with the Raiders. He was in Oakland with the Raiders. And then he gets traded over here. He has to leave his wife, Kelce Plum. There were rumors this year that they split. And then also, we heard his raps. We heard his music. He's a artist. He makes music. And I guess while he was hurt this year, he was really focused on that. So what I'm saying is, mentally, I don't know if his head is in the right place for football, and this is such an important year for the Giants. What do you think they're thinking? What do you think Shane and Dable are thinking about this guy? I feel like there's no way they have him front and center in their plans.
I know that, well, obviously I'm here in Indianapolis, so what do I do all day is talk to agents, executives, and coaches, and I know that the Giants have had shown a lot of interest in tight ends, number two type guys, so they're obviously making contingency plans, but they're not going to find another guy as good as Waller at his peak. So, and they're going to, and if he retires, they're still on the hook for his salary cap hit. Mm-hmm. So I think they want him to come back. I mean, like, to me, the plan for the Giants should be add to Saquon Barkley and Darren Waller, not replace Saquon Barkley and Darren Waller. When it's, your fans are frustrated, man. They want to win. You're going to replace those two guys. And yeah, I mean, to me, add to those two guys, add to the offensive line, take some pieces you have and try to win. Like, I don't know that to me, I think the Giants, yeah, they're obviously making contingency plans, which is smart, but I think in their heart of hearts, they want him to come back fully committed, fully healthy, and show that they made a smart trade for that third round pick last year.
We're on the phone with Ryan Dunleavy. He's an NFL reporter physically at the Combine right now. He writes for the New York Post covering your New York Giants. You just said the name, Saquon Barkley, once a Giant, always a Giant. The guy wants to be a Giant for life. This is deja vu. They just went through this dance last year with Saquon Barkley. Franchise tag him, don't franchise tag him. Give him a little bit more money, don't give him a little bit more money. Right? This new regime that did not draft him, but they have spoken highly of him. They understand his value as a captain, as a face of the franchise. The salary cap went up. We heard rumors coming out of Indy this week that Saquon Barkley had spoken to C.J. Stroud or the Texans. I don't know what to believe anymore because the internet, especially Twitter, is a cesspool. It's a lot of fake news. It's a lot of people pretending to be sources and breaking news, and no one really knows. But from your eyes and your ears and everything that you're gathering in Indy right now, are you thinking that Saquon Barkley returns to the Giants? I think that they definitely can make it happen.
Oh, they can make it happen. And I hopefully I never have – my sources are always real. I never do fake news, especially I think my reporting on the Saquon Barkley situation over the last year and a half speaks for itself in terms of being out in front of it.
Yeah.
And my opinion would be, yes, they definitely can make it happen. No, I don't think they will franchise tag him, even with the raised salary cap. I do think he wants to return. I do think his 1A or second option or whatever would be the Texans. I think it's important to Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley wants to win. Saquon Barkley wants to be remembered as a great player. So, like, what does he need to do to that? He needs to get somewhere with good offensive linemen and a team that's going to be in the playoffs where he can showcase himself to America. So, like, and be remembered as a guy who got 9,000, 10,000 career yards, not struggling to get 900 yards every season because he's getting hit two yards behind the line of scrimmage. So I think those are probably the two teams at the top of his list. I think what will end up happening is a wink, wink, nod, nod agreement that he can go test the free agency market, find out his actual value. Let's end this two-year saga of I say you're worth this, you say you're worth that. Let the market decide what you're worth, and we trust you. You're a loyal guy. Come back to us and let us see if we can match that price.
Now, the next question, since you're out there, is what are the Giants doing? Brian Daboll, Joe Shane, the assistant coaches, are they giving these kids money? Are they drinking with these kids? Are they playing Madden with them? All of these top recruits, well, not recruits, top prospects, draft picks, all of them are raving about their meeting with the Giants. They're glowing. Jaden Daniels talks about his meeting and the energetic coaching staff. And J.J. McCarthy and Roma Duse talking about how they're good people. And a lot of times, you know, you hear about sketchy questions or weird things that go on these meetings. Even Malik Nabers, all of them are raving about Brian Daboll and the coaching staff. What are they doing when they get these kids in the room?
Well, I'll say this. I think, one, they talk about football, which the kids like. Like, all the, like, putt-putt stuff and, you know, throwing darts or whatever the stuff is that makes for fun stories for you and I. The kids are always like, what's the point of this? I don't know if I trust this. Like, the kids want, give me a clicker and let me talk about my playbook or whatever. The kids love that stuff. And I believe that's where the Giants' focus is. And look, it's not a surprise that players like Brian Daboll. Like, the NFLPA survey came out the other day. He he got like an A- or something from
right.
Like Brian Daboll connects with players. Brian Daboll's problem is connecting with staff members. So it's not a surprise that the prospects would
players
like
coach, not a coach's coach.
Yeah, exactly. It's not. There's not a surprise that a player would like Brian Daboll, especially with he knows football. They want to talk football.
Yeah.
Daboll would love to just talk X's and O's all day. So, and the position coaches kind of run this thing, and the Giants have, especially at quarterback, Shea Tierney is like a super young,
yep.
Up and coming quarterbacks coach. They kind of run the meetings, those position coaches. So he's a guy a lot of guys could connect with. So they have a likable staff, the players, no doubt about it. And remember, these are only, I think it's 45, 20-minute meetings. So, you know, you just get a basic surface-level opinion of a guy in those 20 minutes.
Yeah, Daboll seems my kind of guy. He wears Jordans and listens to hip-hop. He likes Big E, dances with the players. He wears Jordan 3s.
He makes jokes, FaceTimes them, makes, like, middle school jokes with them. Like, yeah, the players like him.
Yeah, Mike Kafka seems kind of stale. I bet Daniel Jones and Mike Kafka sit in the meeting room and just have a stare off.
I don't know. I mean, it's always tough too to know. Like, yeah, you just named like two of the more robotic podium people I've ever talked to, and two people that I have really struggled. Daniel's been here for 6 years. I've really struggled to get to know him. Mike Kafka's been here 1 year. I don't feel, or 2 years. I don't feel like I have a great feel for him. But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, that's the persona you put forth at, you know, your once a week 10-minute podium interview with the media. That doesn't mean it has to be you. Obviously, Wink Martindale was, you know, electric in those, and then we found out there was a different side of him when he and Daboll broke up.
Again, we're on the phone with Ryan Dunleavy, great reporter, covers the Giants, NFL, for the New York Post. He's in Indy at Lucas Oil Stadium. He's right there where all the information and things are coming out, and he's the guy you need to talk to. So I mentioned Daniel Jones, and I mean, I've been saying that Daniel Jones is hurt, man, and he's recovering. He's coming back from an ACL injury. He had the neck injury this season. Now he's got a long rap sheet of injuries. I just think it is good business to bring in a young quarterback, a healthy quarterback. I think that it is wise for Shane and Daboll in year three, where they need to bounce back, and it's not guaranteed that they're going to bounce back. I know Daniel Jones is your starter because the contract says he's your starter, but so much needs to happen this year. I've been selling everyone on the fact that if you do draft a young quarterback, that extends your time because you have to develop that guy and see it through. And then the narrative coming out of the combine is, the worst-kept secret is that the Giants are trying to trade up for a quarterback. It doesn't need to be a secret. It's obvious to me. What do you say to that?
Well, first I'd say Pat Shurmur would like to speak to you about how if you draft a young quarterback, you get to develop him, because he didn't get to do that with Daniel Jones.
Oh, Gettleman so, drafted.
yeah. So, look, I think you hit it something that needs to be said here, Keith. Like, everything about the Giants offseason really depends on what kind of timeline Shane and Daboll are working on. Like, if I feel like my job's under fire and I have to win this year, I'm not picking a first-round quarterback. My team needs two starting offensive linemen, a number one receiver, a number one corner, and then, depending on Saquon and Xavier McKinney, a running back and a number one safety. So why am I going to use the sixth pick or trade up to the three and give up assets to have somebody that I'm going to start the season on the bench? Like, no, I'm not doing that. So I need to fill holes. And then if I feel like, okay, the ownership's with me, this is a long-term build, then yeah, I'm going to go and draft a quarterback. Personally, me, Ryan Dunleavy speaking, I thought it was a mistake to sign Daniel Jones to that contract last year. So, yeah, I do think the Giants are interested in moving up to get a quarterback. I don't think that first three teams are interested in moving down to get a quarterback. So then your options become maybe J.J. McCarthy at six, or somebody, Spencer Rattler or Bo Nix.
Spencer
Michael Penix.
Rattler, that would be amazing if Spencer Rattler goes at six.
No, I'm saying
no, but
J.J.
I know they're hyping him up. I know the kid's pedigree. I've been aware of him since QB1 when he was coming out of high school. But imagine he jumps, like, imagine through the combine and pro day. Anything can happen. This is the time for it. Zach Wilson went number two out of BYU.
I was just saying, like, your options become McCarthy at six or Rattler, Nix, Penix later in the first round or early in the second round. Like an Odunze or a Neighbors at six, and then your second player picked, wherever that is, 37 or on a trade up higher, is your quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I hear a lot of folks saying you just get the most talented player and they need receivers, so why not get a Rome Odunze or a Malik Neighbors? And my response to that is because someone has to throw them the ball. The rookie receiver is only as good as the guy throwing him the ball. Jalin Hyatt, he wanted to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. That came out of his mouth. Yep. What happened this year? He didn't have anybody to throw him the ball. Well, he had a few different guys throw him the ball, consistent enough.
Darius Slayton gets pigeonholed as like this Mr. Yeah. Consistent 700 to 775 yard receiver every year. I can tell you Darius Slayton thinks he is much better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he thinks he is a 1,000-yard receiver all the time. And, like, well, that's not what this offense allows. So it isn't just rookies like Jalin Hyatt. All receivers are dependent on their quarterbacks. And, yeah, the Giants are going to add a young quarterback. I just don't know if it's going to be somebody picked third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, depending on if they trade up, or if it's going to be somebody picked 25 to 37 based on wherever their second pick ends up after trade possibilities. If I had to guess right now, I would go with they end up with an Odunze or Neighbors and one of the second-tier young quarterbacks, and they basically hope to have a competition between that guy and Daniel Jones.
I took a call the other night where a fan said that Tyrod Taylor should be the starter and that they should pay Tyrod Taylor again and pay him good money. And we know the backup quarterbacks are going to make good money after the year of the backup and the backup's backup that we just saw. Do you think that Tyrod Taylor comes back? And also, do you think Tommy Cutlets comes back?
Tommy Cutlets will be back. He's under contract. I don't know if he'll be on the 53-man roster when we get to that point in September, because the Giants traditionally only carry two quarterbacks, and I fully expect him to be.
I thought he had a one-year deal. Thanks for my information. See, this is why I have people on that know more than me. What's his contract?
It's one more year, yeah.
Okay, I thought he just had a one-year undrafted free agent, one-year
flyer. You are correct. That's what most get. He has an extra year. You are correct. Smart. That's the standard, but he has one more year. So, I do think they'll probably end up cutting him after training camp and hoping to re-sign him to the practice squad, because that's typically what they do for their third quarterback. And then to answer your other out, Tyrod, I do not think Tyrod will be back. I know Joe Shane said it was a possibility. Tyrod was very disenfranchised with the fact that he had to sit behind Tommy DeVito
last
year.
Cost him $1 million.
that he lost his job due to injury to an undrafted rookie he was not thrilled about. So he's going to get paid. Like you said, you hit it spot on. Last year was the year of the backup quarterback. The backup quarterback market's going to blow up this year. Tyrod's one of the best. I do think he will get paid. I don't think it will be here. And I also, I don't necessarily think that's a bad idea, because I think Tyrod has proven he's a fun player. You can win with him. He makes exciting plays. He makes, bad plays. He is kind of like a total wild card. But he also gets injured a lot. And as far as a starting quarterback, I mean, why are we saying Daniel Jones shouldn't be the starting quarterback? Because he gets injured a lot. So it's hard for me to say Daniel shouldn't be, but Tyrod is. I mean, Tyrod gets injured basically every three games he plays.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not the biggest guy. Okay, so I also took a call tonight about Daniel Jones being behind a weak offensive line, and it's not his fault. And there's a lot of Giants fans that absolve him by saying that the offensive line isn't good enough. And I'm like, well, it was the same or different configuration.
I mean, we've been saying that for 10 years.
I just said it's been a decade of saying that the offensive line isn't good. So my last question for you is, if Joe Alt is available at six, do the Giants just say, hey, we'll take this guy, even though they have three top picks on their offensive line and Andrew Thomas, Evan Neal, and John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt?
No, I would say I've asked that question to many people out here. No one thinks the Giants will do anything besides quarterback or receiver. Like, basically, put those top three quarterbacks, put those top three receivers, I'm maybe putting J.J. McCarthy, seven players. One of those seven players is going to the Giants. I do think, to your point, like, they could do that with Joe Alt if they need, but I think we'll know. The beauty of the NFL offseason is free agency is before the draft, and I think we'll see them spend on one, maybe two, veteran offensive linemen, because they probably need three starters. So maybe two and a half, depending on what you do with Evan Neal. But I think you got to sign two starters and sign at least somebody comparable to Evan and have somebody at least comparable to Evan Neal so that you can challenge Evan Neal. So I think you're probably talking about signing two free agents and then using a day two pick, whether one of the two second rounders or a third rounder, on an offensive lineman. And that's how you get your five starters this year.
Again, this is Ryan Dunleavy with us on The Fan. I'm going to sneak in one more question before I let you go. With Wink Martindale out, do you expect Xavier McKinney to re-sign? You think he's going to be back?
It's an interesting. I think my answer is a little less confident than it would have been 6 hours ago, because the Eagles released Kevin Byard, who not only might be the best or second best safety on the free agent market along with McKinney.
He's a dog.
He also played for new Giants defensive coordinator Shane Bowen with the
Tennessee
Titans,
yep,
for his last 3 years. It's like, well, why would McKinney come back here? Well, Shane Bowen's defense is really safety reliant. Oh, okay, that's good. But it was also Kevin Byard reliant. So, like, does he jump to the top of the Giants list?
Yeah.
Everybody, agents I've talked to out here believe that McKinney is the top free agent. I do think there's a possibility that they transition tag him by Tuesday. And a quick explanation of that is a $13-ish million contract that gives the Giants the right of first refusal. They can match any deal that he gets from another team on free agency. But if they choose not to match it, they don't get any compensation. So I think Tuesday is the deadline for that. That's a real possibility. I think if they do that, they might end up keeping him. If they don't do that, I think he'll be gone.
Ryan, you're the man. I appreciate you joining us tonight. Keep doing your thing out there, and we'll have you back on as we get closer to the draft and the season.
Thanks for having me, Keith.